Lee Bevington Media, voiceovers and on-air talent for radio, television and podcasts. Visit leebevington.com.au.
Radio, the transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency,
especially those carrying sound messages,
or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public. Fanboy, a male fan,
especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
Today's guest is the wonderful Karen Prater. Now, Karen has had a very incredible career. Her name pops up on all sorts of radio journals and websites and so forth. But at the moment, she's doing smooth 91.5 and 95.3 Melbourne and Sydney. Karen Prater, welcome to the Radio Fanboy Podcast.
G'day, Bevo. So good to be here.
Oh, wow. This is so exciting. I've been following your career for a little while now, and it's finally a great opportunity to talk to you kind of in the flesh, but not really. We sound like we're in the same studio, but this is very high technology. We've got our roadcasters at home and sounding like we're in the same room together. I like this. This is good. This is a good vibe.
It's a good vibe, although I have to say it's really strange being on the other side. I was a little bit nervous chatting to you, actually.
Oh, yes. I've had a lot of guests say this. Yeah. They're like, I'm not used to talking about myself. It's always about the guests.
I know. So it's going to be an interesting turnaround, so we'll see how we go.
Let's go back to where it all started. Young Karen getting into radio. I believe Ace Radio in Wangaratta was your first gig as announcer copywriter.
It was. Now, it wasn't actually Ace back in those days. It was owned by a sort of a conglomerate of farmers who had some money, put it into the radio station, and it was interesting. They had some really high-tech equipment, which you wouldn't expect from a bunch of farmers, and we had an automated system, which was pretty impressive. But that was, yeah, my first radio station, 3ME, which was just down the road from my hometown of Albury, which was kind of handy. Yeah. In between leaving Albury and heading to Wang, I went to Swinburne and did the commercial radio course there with Jim Barber, who is just a legend. And RIP Swinburne Radio, not a thing anymore. But I got to meet some pretty cool radio people, up and comers. I worked with Tony Pipicelli.
Yes.
Maria Fundis, who's been around, Darren Robertson. There's quite a few, I'll forget names, but it was a great year. And so many of them went on to do really great things.
That's so cool. You ended up going to Southern Cross Stereo in Canberra. That would have been Mix 106.3, is that right?
No, that was actually 2CA and FM 104.7.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it was in the Jolimont Centre, and it was just after they'd had a bomb go off.
No
it
way.
A couple of years before we got there, during the breakfast show. So they're doing live breakfast above this, I think it was a travel agent, and the husband had, you know, gone a bit awry and drove a ute with gas canisters on the back of his ute into the things that exploded. And of course, everyone had to be evacuated, and the guys are broadcasting upstairs during this whole thing. The breakfast guys, there's footage of the breakfast announcers coming down the fireman's ladder out of the studios upstairs. It was amazing. And they used to run that on repeat at reception when you walked in after the event.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, here's our claim to fame. But yeah, I really enjoyed my time at 2CA and FM 104.7. I was still really green. And so I used to do a program on Saturday nights on 2CA called Jukebox Saturday Night.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was Jukebox Karen.
Hey!
JBK.
The remainder of this podcast, you'll be called Jukebox Karen.
And I was so young. I was only, I think I was 21, and I was on this oldie station, but it was great. And there were so many good announcers who I learnt a lot of. Mike Perso was there, actually.
Okay, you've done the full circle there.
Yeah. And he was fantastic. Also, Steve Mummery was content director there for a bit when I was there. And then I was on FM 104.7 doing late nights after Dr. Feelgood. So I'd panel Dr. Feelgood and then do late nights on FM 104.7, which was great. And then what happened? Then I was poached for over to ARN to mix 106.3, but it was actually Canberra FM.
I know, what an interesting name for a radio station, just naming it after the city.
In the city, yeah, because it had been Kix just before it turned to Kix 106, and then it went to Canberra FM.
Yeah.
And Brad Story was the content director there, and he was just a dream to work with. He was lovely. And so I think he really helped me with getting the sound that I have today. Like, he was so conscious of the smoothness of the voice and being warm and welcoming. And that's something that I've tried to hold on really through my whole career. So I have Brad to thank for that. But my time there was great. When they moved over to Mix and then they merged with Oz Stereo, so we lost 2CC and 2CA and 2CC joined together, and we had Mix and FM 104.7 together. And that's when Steve Mummery came back as our content director. So I'd lost him at 2CA, but he came back when the merge happened between SCA and ARN. And that was a really interesting time too, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going back to when I was in Cooler, and we used to go up to Canberra on the weekend. And yeah, it was, like you said, Canberra FM, and it was 2CA. And I think 2CC was part of our group as well, which was the Blythe group or whatever they called it.
Yeah, that's right, because they had 2XL, didn't they,
as
well?
Yeah, okay.
So that was a bit of a strange time, but I think the transition when they merged those two stations together, the two FMs, it was really great because there were some amazing people working at Oz Stereo. Like, Dan Bradley was the music director of FM 104.7, and, you know, he's just a total legend. And for a short period of time, it might have even been before the merge, Kyle Sanderlands was actually our promotions manager.
Yeah. For
a really short period of time, and he probably doesn't even remember his stint there because it would have been a month. I don't know, it was really short. But he was a really lovely bloke, actually, I have to say. Very different than how he comes across today, but really, decent fellow. So we had some pretty good names, Marty Haynes and, you know, all those guys. So that was a really good time. And then I was learning the music. I was learning off Chris Ivers, to do the music. And I was assistant music director. And then there was a position that came up in Adelaide. And I loved Adelaide desperately. My husband had worked in South Australia and was a big fan of, you know, all things South Australian on air, and I'd heard about all these legends, and this opportunity came up. Actually, no, let me backtrack. We went over to Adelaide for a holiday, and I made an appointment to go and see Richard Winter at 5AD to get an air check. And I was just so impressed, and so I kept sending him air checks, and he was just so thorough in giving me feedback and positive. And then one day they advertised a position for a floater, being able to fill in on breakfast and across the day and programming assistant. And I saw the ad and I thought, you know what? I can't do that. I cannot go on breakfast in a capital city. I'm so not good enough. Anyway, like, literally a day later, my phone rings and it's Richard Winter. He goes, "Hey, why haven't you applied for the job?"
Oh, really?
I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "We're looking for a floater, and we're not looking for something that floats in the bottom of the toilet."
Oh, yes. That,
you know, the old, yeah. And I said, "Oh, I can't do breakfast." He said, "Oh, my God, you can do breakfast. Come on, girl." And so I applied for it, and I got an interview, and I was supposed to have an interview with him and the GM over the phone, who was Graham Tucker, my favourite GM of all time. And anyway, it came time for the interview, and he rang me and he said, "Look, Graham couldn't make it. We want you. You've got the job."
And
I had geared myself up for this interview, and I was a nervous wreck and, you know, ready with all of these great lines. It was like, "Oh, yeah, I can do this. I can do this." And, "Yeah, you've got the job." It was like, "Okay, when do I start?" So that was the biggest buzz ever, going to Adelaide and working with all the legends there. on breakfast, it was Sundo and Keith, and in the morning, John Dean, who is just one of the biggest Adelaide legends ever. And then there was Phil McAvoy and Don Plenty and Mike Elliston. It was just the number one lineup for 50 surveys in a row. Maybe they got to 49, not quite 50. And I felt really quite daunted by being amongst these incredible radio talents who had so many years of experience behind them. And I was this young 26-year-old, green as, really, in the grand scheme of things. And they just Richard had so much belief in me, and so did Mark Elliston, who was the assistant content director, and Annie Bokes, who was a music director. They were amazing. And then, of course, across the corridor on 5DN, you know, you've got Jeremy Cordeau, who is, you know, was the owner of the radio station before ARN purchased it. So I'm just surrounded by just brilliance. It was I felt like I was living another life for a little while there, but back to reality when they said, all right, you're filling in on breakfast in a month. I was just like, oh my God. Because Sundo and Keith were just total, you know, they had the audience eating out of their hands. It was amazing. So that was a bit of a quick introduction to doing breakfast on a capital city radio station. And you know what? I actually had a blast.
Good.
I was nervous. I was a wreck the night before. I couldn't sleep. It was horrible, but I got through it and I loved it. And it really cemented that passion for Adelaide, which I carried on for 10 years.
Yeah, incredible longevity there. But while you're there, you actually did a bit of TV by the sounds of it, co-hosting Motorvision on Channel 9.
Yeah, that's right. I was really lucky because my husband is really passionate about cars, and so we met the president of the Ferrari Club at a radio station promotion that we did, and we got talking and everything, and he could see that we were really keen on Italian cars. And anyway, long story short, we ended up buying a Ferrari. It was a Mondiale.
What?
And it was a It was pre-kids, the whole, you know, we're young and stupid and we've got a bit of money, so stop it, let's just get a Ferrari. So we got this Ferrari, but we also turned it into a business. So he was a chauffeur, so he chauffeured weddings and sort of upmarket, you know, dinners, people would rent it. And it was like a free Ferrari because, you know, it was a tax deduction. It was amazing. Anyway, Channel 9 had heard whisper, this production house in Channel 9, that I was a car fiend. So they came across the road to the radio station, because on Tinth Street, Channel 9 was on one side and we were on the other. And they said, oh, would you be interested in hosting a TV show about cars? And I was like, yeah, bring it on. And so for the audition, they said, look, just put a piece together about your car, bring it along and we'll film it, and, you know, you're in the pack and we'll see how you go. So I rocked up in the Ferrari and I did a piece to camera about how fabulous his car was and the size of the engine and the speed it got to. And, you know, in 1987, when it was brand new, the types of, you know, prices you'd be looking at spending on it and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the fact I pulled up in a Ferrari, I think I had them first go, because he just went, oh my God. And I had the full on Ferrari jacket on, and I was really, you know, I was in the part, and I snared the gig, and it was so much fun. I co-hosted that with Scott McBain, who's another Adelaide legend, radio legend. We did that for the first year, and we got to test drive all sorts of cars. We had Mercs, and we had a Rexton, which is SsangYong, and a few others. We had Mazdas and, you know, topless cars, convertibles. It was a lot of fun. And then Scott left, and then I had another co-host who was amazing. He, I can't remember his name. Isn't that terrible? But he was a really good four-wheel driver, and his company taught people how to four-wheel drive, and they'd done a show on Channel 10. So he was very experienced. And we, in that season, we actually moved across to filming motorbikes, and I also had my motorbike license, and boats. And that was pretty amazing because it had all the three things that I loved. Well, two out of three things that I loved. I was a bit nervous about the whole boat situation. And actually, there was a situation with the boats that was a bit heartbreaking and highly embarrassing. And I can't believe I'm actually going to share this story with you.
Oh, well, I'm glad you are. Please do. Go ahead, Karen.
So we were down near Victor Harbour, Hindmarsh Island, and this boat company on Hindmarsh had sponsored the boats that we were doing stories on. Anyway, I was doing a story on this boat that could spin on a dime. It was this incredibly light speed boat that I think they'd brought out from America, and they were selling it. And so I had to just do a story on this speed boat, and it was so fast. They had a guy sitting in there with me while I would, you know, we'd shoot bits to camera and we'd whiz past, and they were on a sort of a boat with the camera on it and everything, and I was all mic'd up, and it was all pretty spectacular the way they set it up, to be honest. Anyway, they said, all right, so what we want you to do with this one is we want you to come really close to the boat that we're on and sort of whiz past and turn away. And the guy who was sitting next to me, who was the, you know, one of the workers with the boat, he's like, you know, all right, you've got to take it pretty easy with this one, because there'll be a bit of wave that comes with it. So, you know, you'll be fine. Let's just do it. Anyway, so I'm coming in and I'm smiling and I'm doing my line, and I hit the boat that they're on.
Oh, my God, Karen.
I hit the boat.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Bevo.
Was there damage? Oh,
there was damage. Yeah. And the guy who was sitting in with me had just come back from workers' comp from hurting his back.
No.
I've got this poor guy who could not believe, I couldn't believe I'd hit the boat.
Yeah.
He couldn't believe it, and he's holding his back, and I'm going, oh my God, there's a big hole in our boat. I felt sick. I felt
as you would.
So sick. And my boss from Motor Vision is looking at me and he goes, what? And I'm like, I have no idea how that happened. Like, I was on the right angle. We were going to miss it. It was, I just had no answer. I felt so bad. Awkward. So we've taken the, it's awful. And I took the boat back to shore, and they got out and they said, yep, take it into in the shop. It's damaged. We can't do anything with it. And I was just sick. I was so sick.
Yeah.
Anyway, during the following week, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So I sent them like a big hamper to apologize, and it was just terrible. And then I found out about a year later that they had admitted that they were moving forward on the barge.
No.
So it was not even my fault.
Yeah. So they stitched you up and let you wear it.
Oh, my God. It was the worst.
That is not good.
That is not good. So it was terrifying at the time, and I felt terrible. But then the relief afterwards, it was just like, you know, I don't even care that they didn't tell me. I know my truth. They know their truth. We'll just move on. And so I never did any more shooting for the boats again, but I continued on with the with the motorbikes, which was much more my comfort zone. And then the show wrapped up when I announced that I was pregnant with my first child, because the insurance wouldn't cover us for me to shoot on motorbikes while I was pregnant.
No, fair enough. I totally get that.
Yeah, so that was a bummer. Also a bummer because my mode of transport at that point in Adelaide was a motorbike.
Yeah.
And so, reluctantly, I had to give it up to buy a car for my baby.
And the Ferrari just doesn't really cut it, does it?
Well, you know what? Just so that I could afford to have some maternity leave, we sold the Ferrari, and that was my maternity leave, which was pretty
very good.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So, life changed at that point. It was not about cars. It was about kids.
Absolutely. It's amazing how your priorities change in life and, you know, families happen. They do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. From then on, what happened? I had Ruby, and she appeared on my show because when I came back from maternity leave, I was moved from mornings to full-time. Well, I was full-time music director before, but I was music director, and I did a pre-recorded You Choose show on nights on Mix.
Yep.
And so she had a little segment on Tuesdays called Ruby Tuesday.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and she was a baby, and so I'd edit little bits of Goo Goo Gaga, and, you know, we'd get songs on. It was a bit of a novelty thing. So she made her debut very early on the radio station. Used to sleep under the panel when I was filling in on maternity leave. So that was all good. And then once I hit 10 years there, I resigned and we sold our house and thought, let's do a trip around Australia. That'd be pretty cool.
And what did you have, a caravan or a motorhome or something?
No, we actually had our four-wheel drive and a camper trailer.
Oh, wow, cool.
And so we set up a special mobile studio so I could still do all my voiceovers, because I was actually doing voiceovers for quite a few Adelaide companies at that point. And also I'd been doing imaging voice work for Ace Radio for years and years, yeah, and years with through Mark Taylor. I think I started that about 2004, that would have been.
Yeah.
And I was also doing it for Canberra when I'd left. I did it for Canberra for Mix for a while as well. And so we created this great little mobile studio so I could continue doing the voice work. And we did the Great Ocean Road from Adelaide, and we thought we'll come back to Northeast Victoria and have Christmas with our family, and then we'll head off and we'll find a place that we love and we'll just stay there. And our image of that was, you know, a beach, cocktails, palm trees, somewhere far north Queensland.
Yeah.
So we got here in November 2010. And we're still here. We're still here.
Well, it must be an impressive place if you're still there. You love it.
Well, there was family here, and yeah, and Rowan's mother was very elderly and she became quite ill. So we stayed and looked after her because we had no time frame. And then, you know, she ultimately passed away, and which was, you know, quite heartbreaking at the time. It was time for Ruby to start school, and there was a great Montessori school in Beechworth. And it all just sort of pointed to us that maybe we should stay.
Yeah.
And so we're still here. And then I had, 3 years after Ruby was born, I had Isaac, which we went back to Adelaide to have Isaac, and then we came back here again. And it just kept pointing to the fact that, you know, my family was here and we needed to have grandparents close by. And it was, yeah, it just made sense. Anyway, I think it was only a year after I had Isaac that I was back in Adelaide filming. I did a lot of filming for Repco Auto Spares, mm-hmm, Raz, and I'd go back and I'd film. And I remember I was at Burnside Village in Adelaide in the dressing room of Esprit trying on some clothes, because, you know, in Beechworth we don't have many clothes shops.
Oh,
and so I'd go to Adelaide and I'd fit myself out. And I got a phone call from Tanya Simpson, and who was at Smooth and Nova in Melbourne. And she said, KP, we need some help. We need an announcer to fill in for about 4 weeks because Kathy Dinn is taking holidays and our breakfast announcer, Mike Perso, is taking holidays and we don't have anyone to fill in. And I was like, whoa,
yeah,
Smooth. I love that radio station, mm, because I was listening to it whenever I was in Melbourne. And so I said, I'll be back like the following week. And they said, well, come down to Melbourne, send your air check, come down to Melbourne for a chat. So I sent it through to Rowan Brown, who was the content director at the time. And I love Rowan Brown. He's awesome as well. In fact, I had a lot of great content directors. And so we had a chat over the phone, and he said, yep, Paul Jackson thinks you've got the sound. And so basically within a couple of weeks, I was in Melbourne for a month, and I did 2 weeks of breakfast in Melbourne, which was another, oh my God, mm-hmm, have I got what it takes?
Someone then, that thought they weren't good enough for Cap City Breakfast, and here you are in the second biggest market in Australia doing breakfast.
I know, it was crazy. And then I did 2 weeks of drive for Kathy Dinn in Melbourne, and it was brilliant. And that was really the start of my love affair with Smooth, and I've been with them ever since in some form or another. I think I was there about a week and filling in, and Rowan Brown pulled me aside and he said, would you be interested in producing Cameron Daddo? You can do it from home. And I was like, and you just need to come down to Melbourne, you know, twice a week to do it. And I just would drive down and I'd turn around and I'd come back. And I was like, hell yeah, Cameron Daddo.
What is the drive to Melbourne from Beechworth?
Well, it was about 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I'd leave at silly o'clock and I'd get down there for a 10 o'clock record,
yep,
and then allow a couple of hours there, grab a coffee, jump in the car and be back sort of by school pickup.
Look at you go, super mum.
It was crazy, but it was so much fun, and I loved working with Cameron Daddo. He is such a pet. in the nicest possible way. He's so professional, but warm and kind, and all the things that you hear on Smooth is Cam. He's really cool. So that was a real buzz. And then I became sort of assistant music director to Kate Mason, who's, along with Anne Bokes, is two of the best music directors I've ever worked with. Incredible. Kate Mason is a whiz, which is why she's been there so long. And then I was made redundant from that role because it was permanent part-time. And then they said, even though you're no longer permanent part-time, you're still going to be on air. So I didn't really change. I still continued filling in on air, and I'd travel down to Melbourne at that stage and do on-air shifts, and they'd put me up down the road. And that was great because I could catch up with all my Melbourne friends. So like Tanya Simpson, and we'd catch up for girl drinks, and it was really great. And then what happened? And then fast forward a few years, because I did that for a while, COVID hit us in March, and I was freelancing everywhere. All my work was freelance pretty much. And Irene rang me from Smooth, and she said, "We've got a job offer for you." And I said, "Yes, please," because I'd already knocked back two full-time roles working for Smooth.
Yeah.
And this was the perfect one because the clincher was that you can do it from home.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes. Yeah. And we are very ensconced in our life here in Beechworth. It's a wonderful family town. It's a touristy town, but it's fabulous. It's got the school that we love for our kids. Our families are close by. We've got some great childhood friends here, so it kind of made sense. And I only have to really travel down when I fill in on breakfast. So it's not too bad at all, I have to say. It gives me a little break away from the family for a week, live the city life, and then I come back to the country life, and all is well again.
I think your next role will be the brand ambassador or a tourism campaign for Beechworth.
Well, I have done a few VOs here and there. We've got some pretty amazing people who work here in town who work for Melbourne and Sydney companies but are based in Beechworth. And in fact, I think that the head of Mercedes-Benz Australia's got a holiday house here.
You're going to suss that out and see if you can get yourself a little hello, Mercedes.
Well, I've got to be a bit careful because I actually am a voice for Mercedes-Benz Berwick in Melbourne, so okay. You know, don't want to step on any toes.
No, but you want to drive Mercedes. Same brand,
that's it. Okay. Don't tell anyone about my Beamer.
Absolutely. Karen Prater from Smooth FM.
Like the Radio Fanboy podcast? Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or visit leebevington.com.au. Lee Bevington Media, voiceovers and on-air talent for radio, television and podcasts.